You can get comfortable.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed by Love with Love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making many of the same mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim is a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she has heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage, and she's learned this from being a stripper in a gentleman's club. Also joining us tonight is my daughter, Shauna, and she's a reporter and an entertainer. Please feel free to call in with your questions. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. If you want to speak with us, you have to press 1 to appear on our switchboard. You can also post a question in the chat room for us. But please, if you're afraid to call, don't be. We're here to talk about love and fear, so muster up some courage and start talking. Tonight we'll be discussing a really important topic, and that is everything you ever wanted to know about love and fear, but were afraid to ask. Understanding the difference between love and fear is the first step toward having a higher love. I'm going to read a passage from Grant Me a Higher Love. That's my book, which discusses love. And this is called The Opposite of Love is Fear. Love. Fear. What's so hard to understand about those emotions? Why, even babies and little children know the difference, right? Sure, we learned an awful lot about love and fear growing up. But what we learn by observing the oftentimes dysfunctional world around us is far from the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Tonight's show will provide you with many insights into your fear-based thinking, and this is what's keeping you trapped to your unhealthy thought patterns and relationships. Now, I'm going to have Nicole read a passage from the book for us, and Nicole is going to be telling us a little bit about traits that characterize.
Okay, what I'm going to be reading here is what feelings, emotions, and traits characterize unconditional love. Joy, serenity, generosity, bliss, happiness, humility, excitement, hope, faith, forgiveness, trust, optimism, laughter, endurance, patience, peace, abundance, radiant health, vitality, passion without drama, sacred sexuality, tenderness, learning, wisdom, kindness, healing, freedom, creativity, courage, commitment, beauty, caring, personal growth, spirituality, balance, oneness, ecstasy, compassion, empathy, tolerance, being non-judgmental, spontaneity, healthy pleasure, fulfilled desires, gratitude. In other words, all the positive thoughts, emotions, and actions under the sun are characteristic of unconditional love.
Okay, so if you're feeling love and walking the path of love, you should be feeling a lot of those wonderful emotions. Now, Kim is going to be reading what characterizes fear for us and see if your life seems more like fear than love.
Hi, everybody.
What characterizes
fear and what feelings, emotions, and traits are involved with that? Pessimism, pity, flight, doubt, arrogance, hubris, violence, lust, jealousy, envy, greed, pettiness, meanness, power struggles, worry, selfishness, narcissism, guilt, feelings of rejection and abandonment, victim consciousness, anger, hatred, prejudice, vengeance, passing judgment, the excessive need to be right, holding on to a grudge, dogmatic thinking, phobias, obsessions, compulsions, addictions, perversions, feeling sorry for oneself, depression, and anxiety. In other words, all the negative thoughts, emotions, and actions under the sun are characteristics of fear.
Okay, as you can see, there was a pretty long list that characterized fear. And for some of you who are not familiar, that we're entering a new astrological age, and this is the age of Aquarius. We're leaving the age of Pisces behind, which has been around for more than 2,000 years, roughly beginning around the time of the birth of Christ. The age of Pisces was and is an age characterized by blind faith, superstitions, false beliefs, and dogma. In other words, it was the age of fear. Human evolution was such that we needed a fear-based God. People needed to fear the wrath of God and fire and brimstone in order to do what was right. The age of Aquarius is an age characterized by the higher evolving human who does what is right for goodness sakes and not because we fear God or hell. It's an age of love. God is certainly alive and well during this age of Aquarius, in which thy will be done will reign supreme, but dogma is dead. Now, all week I've had a pretty rough week doing tarot card readings for women who seem to be stuck in unhappy marriages. It's been a hard week for me to listen to these women and their 1,001 excuses as to why they're still in those marriages, and some of them are pretty toxic. Now, I'm going to ask Kim if she can tell me what she thinks is the reason, the number one reason these women are staying in their marriage.
Fear of becoming independent, fear of not being able to make it on their own. Just fear of what's going to happen. And in my opinion, fear is pretty much a negative projection of the future. And why does it have to be a negative projection? I mean, yeah, I guess I was trapped in my marriage for a couple of years because of fear. Oh, my God, what if? And what about the kids? And what about money? And then one day I just said, you know what? I really don't care. Money isn't worth everything. And my kids will be fine. And guess what? They're fine. And I still have a roof over my head. And that's all I really care about.
Okay, I'm going to throw that one out to Shauna. Were you ever stuck in an unhappy relationship?
I think as soon as I realized the relationship was unhappy, it wasn't too long before I found a way to get out of it. I'm not the kind of person that's going to stay for a long time in an unhappy relationship.
And that was because you were realizing you didn't have any freedom in it? Or was there a reason, the main reason that you got out of it?
To me, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, that we weren't married, we didn't have any kids. Once I realized it wasn't satisfying, there was no reason to stay in it.
Well, I think it's a lot easier to be single and independent without children and that marriage license to walk away. Once you have those other factors, you really do have to consider your options, whether you want to stay in an unhappy relationship or not.
But, you know, I have a number of clients who are young and single. They're not even living with these guys, and they still can't break away. So I think there's something even deeper than economics that's keeping these women there, their fear of abandonment, they're afraid to be alone, their fear of rejection. And, you know, if you're staying in an unhappy relationship and the only emotion that you're feeling is anger after a while, you know, the person just makes you angry, they can't hurt you anymore. So sometimes people stay stuck there because if they get out of that relationship, they have to go out in the real world where they might actually risk getting hurt. And that's pretty scary. They may fear being abandoned, being rejected. So I find that sometimes psychological fears, whether you're married or not, are pretty strong. You know, I don't know if any of you have found that. Nicole, did you find that you were ever bound to a relationship for fear?
Yes. I was in a very, very long relationship, comparatively speaking. And
well, you're a young woman, so.
well, compared to what other people would consider long, I mean, I was only in this relationship for about 8 years. And, you know, she had kids, and for the longest time, even though I knew the relationship was going downhill and even though I knew that the relationship was, you know, just not meant to be, I wound up staying a whole lot longer because, I mean, at that point, you know, I mean, she and I had, you know, raised these kids in a matter of speaking together, you know, and even though they weren't mine, they did not come from me in every way that could possibly count, I was their other mother, and I felt terrible about the thought of abandoning them.
And that would be something that I think a lot of people have. They do think they need to stay for the children. That seems to be a pretty big reason. That's the reason that I know I grew up hearing all the time that we had to stay. You know, if we had children, we had to stay in that marriage. We couldn't leave it. It was kind of the 1950s and 60s thinking. But I still hear that a lot. I mean, I heard it yesterday from a woman whose son is a heroin addict, and she's in a very unhappy marriage. And part of the problem is, you know, her kid is young. He's like 16 years old. And I said, well, you're showing your kid you've done everything right, supposedly. You know, you're staying in this marriage. You know, your husband works hard and you work hard, and yet you're miserable. So what does this kid see? He's not seeing a person who's living a happy life. He's just thinking, if I do everything right, I'm going to grow up to hate my life. So sometimes we have to think about that. What we're teaching our children is maybe not what we think we're teaching them. So again, parents who stay together because the children, I don't know if that's such a valid reason. What do you think, Kim? You think that staying together would have been better for your children, or are you thinking it's better that you separated and divorced?
I definitely think it's better that I separated, because ultimately the children were getting affected. It was that elephant in the middle of the living room was always there, and the tension was always there. We might not have been fighting. We could go 6 months without fighting, but there was always that tension, and the kids would feel it, and they would know it, and occasionally they'd go off into their rooms and close the door because the tension was there. It was just ultimately, you know, one of us had to make the decision, and I went back and forth on the decision because of my heart. And he didn't have a place to live, and I didn't want to kick him out in the street, and that's not right, and, you know, it wasn't right for me, it wasn't right for him, but, you know, in the end, I guess I made the right decision. I'm pretty sure about that. So.
Well, I think that's the bottom line. When, as a mystic who's able to give people life reviews without them dying, it's pretty much like you're going to the light without having to get a head trauma. What I will tell you, you know, when you go to God and you tell him, well, I stayed in my marriage because, you know, of my religion, and that's what I was supposed to do, you're not going to have the review you think you're going to have. God is pretty much going to say, well, you didn't stay for love. You stayed out of fear that you couldn't survive, fear of what people would say. Those are not the reasons why God wants people to stay in a marriage. We have a world that's quickly escalating to another world war. If we don't begin to teach peace in our homes, our children are going to learn war, and we can't have that anymore. So this is the first time in human evolution where God is really starting to call people on their behavior. You're going to stay because you love a person and not for another reason. I mean, I had at least 4 women this week coming telling me they can't leave their marriages, they don't have the money, they won't be able to survive. And I said, you had better not go to God and tell him you stayed with your husband because you couldn't, you know, you didn't have enough money to leave him. Because you've got about $300,000 equity in that house. $150,000 would be yours. And maybe you're not going to live in that house you live in now, and maybe you're going to have to downsize, but you're certainly not going to live out on the street. If you were going to live out on the street, God might buy that. But you had better not go to God and say, well, I was a wife in this life. No, you'd better go and say, I was a hooker, because that's pretty much what you are. You're staying for money. And, you know, these same women have been married 20 years unhappy, and they say, well, I have no skills. I can't support myself. Well, what have you been doing for 20 years? You couldn't learn a skill. You couldn't go back to school. We do have to support ourselves. That's part of what we're asked to do in this lifetime. So, you know, that excuse is running pretty down. And men are given the same excuse. You guys hear that, and you hear it in the strip club that the men can't afford to divorce.
Oh, it's cheaper to keep her. This is horrible thing. Just horrible. I'm like, give me a break with the cheaper to keep her. I'm like, come on, guy. I mean, I hear just these men just say horrible things about their wives. And I always defend the underdogs, obviously. But I'm just like, well.
You know, we have a client, you know, I have a client, and you guys happen to know him, and he seems to think he can't afford to divorce, and we know that's not true. I mean, again, it's a question of don't go to God telling him you didn't have the money, because God will say, well, you could have lived in a smaller place, you could have, you know, gone home to live with your parents, you could have done a lot of things. But not staying stuck is, you know, something that God will say, I don't honor that you couldn't get out of this marriage. You know, you can't really sit in front of God and give too many lame excuses. Now, I think, Nicole, you said we have a caller.
We do. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, ladies. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hello, how are you?
And this is Phil. How are
everybody
you?
Everybody.
We were just talking about you, Phil.
Uh-huh.
Well,
Phil, I've gotten more emails from women telling me, do you have Phil's number?
Is that the one that
very,
I asked about?
Yeah, that's my daughter. She asked about you, too. So
that
it seems
very,
to be
that sweet of everyone.
Hi, Phil.
Says that
Hi,
you
guys.
Are the new millennium man. You talk like a new millennium man. Your ideas are good. And, you know, please share with you what you're thinking tonight with us.
Well, there are a couple things. One, I've noticed that as we get older or as we go from one relationship to another, I'm going to talk about women first, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
They look for the steady. They look for the competent when they're getting married the first time, in their 20s, in their 30s, when they have desires, when they have so-called needs that are, well, I hate to say unrealistic. As they get older, and again, this is a man's point of view. I'm going to finish what I say,
here.
So please bear with me.
We have an estrogen test here tonight.
As they get older, they realize.
Best, yeah.
As they get older, they realize, and out of one relationship, one steady relationship, with time to spread their wings and to shake off the cobweb, so to speak, they want that excitement that they didn't get. They got the steady, dependable guy they thought. And when they go into another relationship, that term, bad boy, seems to come to mind a lot. In fact, if you look on these online sites, a lot of women that I've noticed have the word motorcycle. In
well, that doesn't mean someone's
not
bad just
wrong.
Because they own
not
a motorcycle.
Wrong, okay? But it seems like from when they were early on, they were younger and they were looking for the big fancy house or everything was monetarily driven. Now it's that passion or that excitement for life that drives them that they didn't get before.
Well, they were looking for
somewhere along the line, women find out what is really important to them in life, and there's a happy medium between all facets. With men, however, men look for the excitement. They don't necessarily go about it the right way. They
and
also
whatever do you
want,
mean, Philip?
They also.
Oh, she's using your full name.
Want,
beware.
They want the love. They want the tenderness. That's
whoa! Men want love and tenderness.
Hang on 1 second. I knew that this would happen. That's why you've got to give me a little time here.
Okay.
They want the same things, but they also want the excitement at the exact same time. Therefore,
what's wrong with that?
It's well, the problem is there's that happy medium that everybody needs to achieve. And therefore, when they're looking for this, they have to be happy with themselves. They obviously all feel like they are missing something in their lives. When they find out what they're looking for, that's the right time. When they are happy with who they are, they'll be the best partner they can be for somebody else. And the problem is people are searching. People are searching day and night. People think they found the right thing. I myself, I've gone through it as well. I'll admit it to whoever I speak to. But I really feel at this point in time, with enough soul searching, and here's a great phrase for you guys, looking in the mirror. Being able to
I'm looking for somebody exactly like me, Phil.
Oh, no. You're not looking for... You're looking to be happy with who you are. When
I'm very
you're
happy with,
happy
who, I
with
am.
Who you are, it doesn't matter who you're with.
Well, do you know what, do you know what
gonna,
I think Phil
is
saying?
It's going to be a reflection of you and who you are as a person.
Do you know what I think Phil is saying here? What he's saying is that it is said that men enter their sexual peak in their teens. And women enter their sexual peak in their 30s.
I've heard that.
Our timelines are off. Basically, in the very beginning of a relationship, women want the house and the money and everything else, and then they want some more excitement later on. Men, however, want the excitement in the beginning, and then when they're happy with themselves, that's when they settle down later on. So we're on opposite cycles.
Yeah, and then all the sex tapers off.
And then Hannah, a 30-something-year-old woman, is left.
Now I'm going to jump in. Don't say the sex tapers off. The sex never.
No, the sex is just tapered off for Kim.
That's one of the reasons why relationships don't work, because people don't put enough time into making a successful relationship. It's not something that works. If it's a relationship that's supposed to stand the test of time, you cannot possibly work on it for 5 or 10 years and expect it to last for 40. It's something that, again, you have to be able to put the time and the effort in to make this a happy medium for both parties. And I'm not just saying you as women. I'm saying men as well.
Philip, can I ask you a question? No, I've never met you before, but how long were you married? I'm assuming you're not married anymore.
I am not. I was married for about 13 years.
Okay.
I have,
will be very happy to hear that.
Let me just say this. I have two wonderful kids. I give all the credit in the world to my wife, or my ex-wife, excuse me. And the reason that we get along so well now, and it's not that we didn't get along then, but is that we both put our differences aside and we both agreed that we made two terrific kids. And our children are now fantastic adults in early
20s. And you have an amicable relationship.
I'm sorry?
And you have an amicable relationship with your ex-wife.
At least amicable, if not very close, very good. We are very good friends.
And that's what we should be. This is what we strive for, to be soulmate friends if we can't make it a marriage that's working.
I'm proud of you, Phil.
We like to hear that.
I'm proud of you guys.
How old are you, Phil?
To talk and
how old are you, Phil?
Topics. I'm sorry?
How old are you?
I'm old enough to know better, yet young enough to... And
I'm trying to help you out here. You're single, and I need to know how old you are.
We don't care, Phil. You're timeless and ageless. We like that here.
Yes.
I have a feeling that somewhere along the line, I'm going to meet you ladies. I'm going to meet you friends.
Thank you.
And we're going to be able to sit and laugh and enjoy a whole night together.
I think that would be wonderful, because we really enjoy the kind of man that's really working on his relationships, thinking about how he can make them better. Soul searching is the word, liking yourself.
Philip, you know what? I really would like to believe that there are more men like you out there that are in touch with themselves. That gives me great hope.
Yeah,
God bless you guys. I'm listening.
Keep on listening.
And I'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Call again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay, we're so glad we have men brave enough to call in. You know, I have a lot of women clients that listen. I don't know why they don't call in.
They're afraid.
But
it's there.
I know. Everything you want to say. Let's do the call in number, 646-929-0958. And again, this has been a week from hell for me, because I told, if I got one more woman coming here who's stuck in a marriage, and no matter how many suggestions I gave to call her on her nonsense, that she's not stuck. And some of these women are fairly young. They're 38, 39, 40, and they think they're too old now to move on, which I thought was shocking.
I don't think that's very old.
No, and they thought they were too old. And, you know, they really thinking, well, where am I going to go, and what would I do with the rest of my life? And I'm saying, God isn't asking you to have all the answers. But what I tell people to do is visualize where you'd want to be in 5 years. You can visualize yourself in a happy relationship, in a good job. You don't have to have all the answers to how you're going to do that. But just sort of put it out to God. Even visualize that this can happen. If you keep visualizing there's no way you can leave a relationship, there's no way out. I mean, I was telling Kim earlier today that I used to have a dream for years that I lived in a glass house, and it was a recurring dream. And one day I heard my spirit guide say to me in the dream, you know there's a rock right next to you. Just pick up the rock and throw it. And I picked up the rock, and, of course, the glass house shattered, and I realized it really is that easy. Once you make up the mind that you're going to walk through that door and you're going to leave the marriage, you know, you'll find a way to get out of it. And it's an important thing, you know, and if you're in a marriage that you're not going to leave, well, then, for God's sake, make it better. Try to make it better.
So are you saying that people in glass houses should throw stones?
I think that's what she said.
In my case, throw that stone and find your way out. But, you know, to do nothing, to be in a lousy marriage and complain about it and whine about it and do nothing is negative karma. We are expected to make sure that we work on our marriage and make it the best it can be. And, you know, just tolerating, you know, a bad marriage isn't really acceptable anymore. So the main reason that I heard was, in this economy, we can't divorce, we don't have the money to do it. Another thing I heard a lot was they felt guilty. And if you remember reading the attributes of fear, wasn't guilt in a category of fear? It's not a characteristic of love. So if you're staying out of guilt, you're going to answer to God for that too, because we should only feel guilty if our intention is to hurt someone. If you're leaving a relationship because it's not serving your higher good or the person's higher good, guilt isn't what you should be feeling. And, you know, a lot of people also said, you know, they're afraid to get out in the dating world. You know, they'd rather stay with the devil they know. Anybody?
Yes.
You've been there, Nicole?
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I have most certainly been there. And you know what I have to say? I have been on the market now consistently for a little over a year.
Lesbians out there, are you hearing this?
Okay, and it's scary. It's a little bit scary out there. I got a little bit afraid.
Why
you know?
Is that?
You want to tell us some of the relationship from hell stories? That's what the book's about.
My relationship from hell? You know what, even though things didn't work out with my ex and I would never categorize that as a relationship from hell. You know, it was definitely rocky, you know, it definitely was not meant to be, but it wasn't hellish. There were certain hellish moments, but nothing, you know, nothing so, so terrible. As far as what I've encountered now being single, I think that it's very safe to say that heterosexual women are not the only ones, as Phil would say, that don't know what the hell they want. I think that lesbians are just as guilty of it. I have seen women that are completely, completely into me and then all of a sudden just say, oh, no, but I can't.
Is that fear of commitment?
Do you think
that
maybe they're not really lesbians? Is it that they're...
No, she was definitely a lesbian.
So it's not like a sexual identity problem.
Not a sexual identity crisis. This happens to be with somebody, you know, who... You know, it was just completely, completely pursued me. And then all of a sudden when it came time to, and I would never put any pressure on it, I was just kind of like, well, you know what, it is what it is, and whatever it turns out to be, it turns out to be. And you know what, and then everything else just happened to come along, and you know, all of a sudden it was commitment phobes.
Yeah, she was just into the thrill of the chase, right?
It was the thrill of the chase,
yeah.
You know? She never really had me,
you have
though,
to play a little
so.
More hard to get.
Yeah, but you know what, that's the funny thing. She never really had me to stop with the chase. You know, she never really had me. It was just, I don't know, I just, none of her games really, really played off well with me.
That could be it.
So, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, whatever you say, you know. I was very laid back. Actually, that's because of my hellish relationship, so.
Maybe there wasn't enough drama for her.
Probably.
You're probably better off.
Maybe she was looking
then.
For a cellmate, and what she was rejecting was your higher love you were offering her.
That is correct.
Okay, how do you like that for an answer?
And you know what, ladies? We do have another call. Hold on just a moment. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Up, it's the other Phil. Hello, other Phil.
How are you?
Hi,
we
Phil.
We are very good tonight.
I have a suggestion.
Hi, Phil.
How are you? Bulletproof your relationship, that's the topic, right?
Yep, that is correct.
No, it's love and fear.
Just on that, simple suggestion, have fun. Like, look at me. I have a very happy relationship. I'm in a limo on my way to the hottest pub in New York City, and I say the thing is you have to be able to have fun. You and your partner, whether it be, you know, just a partner, your wife, whatever, you need to be able to have fun, and you need to be able to be yourself and not give up the things you enjoy doing in order to have that relationship. And I think that people are truly happy in their relationship, the rest just follows suit. And I guess you guys call that bulletproofing it, but I say it's just if you can be yourself and you're having a good time, everything works out.
Yeah, it's true, and if you're not too afraid, we're talking about sometimes people get really afraid to have good relationships. They're afraid to work on them. And it seems like that's what the issue is lately. People are afraid.
Phil, you're going into Manhattan in a limousine, or are you bringing your wife with you?
No, she was welcome to come. She's at home with the four kids, but she told me, listen to it, I know that's your thing, I know you love that, you go have a great time, and I am going to have a fun time, and, but yeah, I mean, what
Who
she
are you going with, Phil? I want to go, too.
We all want to go.
Yeah, I could certainly pick you guys up. I only just left, so if you guys want to go, let me know. I'll swing by.
You don't think your wife would mind if you brought three or four girls?
Well, they are my friends, after all. I mean, my wife happens to know Nicole. She's friends with us, so that's awesome.
But does she know Kim?
Yeah, I mean, she knows us. Kim.
She knows Kim by reputation.
Right.
Well, you sound like you're ready to have a very fun evening. And
it's going to be a legendary evening, I can assure you. Yes.
Legendary evening. I do like that expression. A legendary.
You're lucky to have such an understanding wife.
And I can see the legendary.
This woman will be immediately canonized upon death, no doubt about it. She's a great woman, and the fact that she puts up with me and that I could be myself is I'm truly blessed. That's all I could say.
You are, Philip. You know what? Philip is definitely truly blessed, and I've already said this to him to his face as well as to his wife's face. That it does not matter what his wife does in this life, she is going to heaven for dealing with him.
And
but
that's
my point is, you know, you can, and don't get me wrong, you know, a lot of my neighbors look at me like, you know, you go out a lot, you know, dude, for a married guy, you're happy, but you're always out, you know, and it's like, no, I am, but it works for us, we're okay with that, you know, you can go out and have fun and go to a club and dance and be with people, it doesn't mean anything bad's going to happen, it's just me, I enjoy it.
Well, that's good, and that's keeping the excitement in your life, and maybe that's what's keeping your marriage alive. If it works for you, that's what we're talking
and
about.
And it works for her, you
and
then.
Yeah, we're saying be honest, and as long as you're honest.
Nicole, you can answer that question. Is Christine, you think Christine's a very happy woman or what?
What, you're asking me if I think Christine is happy?
No, I think she's very happy. She tells me all the time. I believe her.
No. Honestly, I've spoken with both of you about this separately, and his wife is a very happy woman. And, you know, she really has no complaints about him. Well, that's a good thing. She has complaints about you to me, though.
Christine wants to go out and have a great time. She does. She's got
oh, no, that is one thing I can vouch for, is that Christine does go out with her friends just as much as Philip goes out with his. And when it comes time for her wanting some quality time, Philip has no problem staying home. When it comes time for her to go out and him stay home with the children, he is more than happy to do so.
So we've got a working marriage here.
Right, baby. You know what? Nobody should define what works, because what works for each person could be different.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's what we advocate for.
I mean, we've talked about this before. What seems to work for people and what I'm hearing is two different things.
Right. And what's
that?
Yeah,
hearing a lot of complaints from obviously one side for all different reasons, but a lot of complaints and crap is being thrown at me. They can't talk to their spouses about it.
Yeah, what's up with that, Phil? You're a guy. Give us the guy perspective on that.
About what? That
about why is it that right now you're engaging in something that is working for you and your wife? However, I'm sure that you also know your share of unhappily married men. And
I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by them on all sides. Yeah, I know my share. You can put that,
But a lot of these unhappily married men, you know, will not say anything to their wives, but yet when they go and they see, you know, Kim here at work, they have nothing but terrible things to say about their spouses. See, you, I've never heard really badmouth your spouse, so you're out of that loop there, but what is it with men and being able to communicate better with other people than with the people that they chose to spend the rest of their lives with?
Because it's safe. I think on some level that there's always a risk that, or maybe it just takes a level of honesty or, I don't know, exposure to really talk maybe like that to someone who you do care about that much and you don't want to maybe hear about the things. If you don't hear what you want and you open yourself up, that can sometimes lead down a bad road. And I think it's just safer for people to just complain about, you know, their wives and what makes them unhappy to other people instead of taking care of it with the one person who could fix it for them. And let's face it, Kim can't fix it for them, but there they are telling her about it. They should be telling the person who could fix it, which is the person that's causing the problem or the misunderstanding or whatever it is that's making them unhappy to begin with.
Absolutely.
What kind of things do these men complain about typically? What's, like, some of the most common complaints you get?
Most common things? I don't get enough sex.
I knew it.
I don't know why they're telling me that, because I can't help them with that.
Maybe they're hoping you can.
Their wives have become overweight. They're boring. They're not exciting as they used to be. mostly overweight and no sex.
Well, listen, I have something to say to that. I mean, listen, I wish I could sit there and tell you that, you know, every 2 to 3 times a week, Christine's always ready. And listen, that's not fashion. There are times with 4 kids, things happen. People get tired. You know what? God gave you 2 hands. You work it out. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, it's just, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. But, you know, there are times we do it a couple times in a week, and there are times nothing happens for 2-3 weeks. But that's life. I mean, but you have to have a relationship, and if it's really bothering you, talk about it. I don't know.
Well, Philip, my whole philosophy on that is, well, did you look the same as you did 20 years ago? Are you
the pride? But that's, listen, you know, what are you going to do? I look better. Men age more gracefully than women. It's not my fault. You know, what are you going to do about
that? Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't think this.
I'll talk to you about that.
I don't
later.
Think he's seen you.
You know, Dan, when they get more distinguished,
no.
A little bit of gray. Come on, age is not, you know, just doesn't work well with, you know, a lot of.
You know, but women need to take care of themselves.
No,
they can't let themselves go because they're in a relationship.
We'll see.
I'll agree with Shauna on that point.
You know, they need to exercise, they need to take care of their bodies and their, as well as their spouses.
But you know what? You can have the best body in the world and be the best looking in the world and treat your spouse like shit. So one thing doesn't really happen.
No, you need to do both, you know.
There's a lot of beautiful movie stars whose husbands are cheating on them like crazy. So I think it transcends how beautiful, like Halle Berry was considered one of the sexiest women in the world, married to a sex addict who cheated on her constantly. Had nothing to do with her looks, her brains, her talent, or her anything. It had to do with him, his insecurity. So every relationship is different, which I think Phil pointed out, and I'm so glad that him and his wife communicate and talk about what makes them happy. And he is understanding. I mean, the fact that he said sometimes his wife is tired, I think that's, you know, very, very kind of him to give her that.
Well, not only that, she has a very successful business that I've been very supportive of, and, you know, that goes along with it too. I mean, she has a very independent life. She's got a great business. You know, she first said she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That was what she wanted to do. That was her gig. We had 4 kids, and then all of a sudden she did a 180 and decided she wanted to become a career person. And, you know, I supported it, and we support each other like that. And I think that's what works, at least for me. But like I said,
but also, she's an independent woman. That's something that makes her be able to perhaps be less insecure because she's not threatened by you going out or doing things because she does know she could stand on her own 2 feet if she needed to. I think she's much more, you know, insecure and want to keep you more on a chain if they don't feel like they can survive without you. So I think the independence that both of you have is probably a key to what makes this work.
I would agree.
And that's wonderful to hear because we want more couples like that. Absolutely.
All right, I just want to say thank you. I need to go because my limo driver is into a death spiral. He doesn't know where he's going. So I have
all right,
to
okay, we hope you have a good time.
All right,
Phil,
thank you
for calling in.
All right, take care.
So we've been lucky. We've been blessed with 2 men tonight to call.
And they're both named Phil.
I know.
And they both have different perspectives, kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah.
Yes. You have the single man and you have the married perspective.
Okay, so we're talking about some fear-based reasons why people stay in a marriage. The one I love to hear. My husband would kill himself without me. My wife would kill herself without me.
Don't flatter yourself.
I know, and it's also, those are narcissistic people who threaten to kill themselves. And, you know, you're not responsible for someone else's behavior. And if you're leaving this relationship and you're doing it in a kind and fair way, as kind and fair as you can, you got to leave that person to do what they have to do. But you can't be blackmailed by them. Very, very bad karma to tell somebody.
You know, I was with somebody like that.
Yes, you were.
And you know what? He forgot about me right away, you know.
And I remember,
he didn't kill himself.
And I remember pointing that out to you. I remember saying he's too narcissistic to hurt himself. He would never do that. But meanwhile, it did control you for a long time, you know, for at least 6 months. So again, it's when people threaten to kill themselves, or sometimes women will say, my husband says he's going to kill me. That's a pretty scary one. We see a lot of crazy men do things to women. But there is a point where you've been with someone who's crazy long enough, you might just say, well, you're better, you know, I'm better off dead than to stay. You sometimes have to call a person on that, too. You will usually know and figure out what you need to do. An order of protection or, you know, making sure that you have a support system who knows what's going on to help you through that. You know, for some women, that really is a fear. We've seen enough news lately about men who go stalk women and kill them. It seems to be front page news all the time. Another reason that women say they stay is because they have this, they feel safer for security, and that's what I call the illusion of safety. And one woman was telling me, you know, she can't leave her husband, you know, she doesn't really make enough money. And, you know, I was able to, through the tarot card reading, see that her husband is an alcoholic, that he drives drunk on numerous occasions. And I brought it out to her that, look, the universe can't stop him from cracking up that car anymore. And what's going to happen is if he cracks up that car, driving drunk, and brings down a few people, kills a couple of people, that house that you're so afraid to lose is going to be gone. You're going to be sued. You're going to lose everything. He's going to go to jail. You might be better off to cut your losses now and get yourself out of that marriage. It's not a secure marriage. He's not a secure person. You're having some kind of illusion of safety that really doesn't exist. So I think people have to really examine, why are you staying in that relationship? Now, Kim, did you ever stay too long in a relationship out of fear?
My first marriage, I probably was married 4 years, and I stayed 4 years too long. I was actually very, very afraid of him. But I was very young, and everybody's like, oh, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And I was determined to make it work. And the more I was determined, the worse it got. And my second marriage, which was more of like a real marriage, I think I stayed probably 3 years longer than I should have, out of fear, out of guilt, you know, what's going to happen to my children. And you know what, everybody survived, and I'm much happier for it. I had wished it would have been a little sooner, but circumstances were that, where he probably would have been homeless if we didn't stay together, which he will probably be homeless in the next couple of weeks anyway. That's another story. But I think every relationship kind of ended on a positive note, and I was able to maintain some kind of friendship with most of them. Even over the years, I'll, you know, drop a card or whatever. And I think that's just the best way to do it, you know, instead of killing each other on the way out. And that's kind of how it ended up in my second marriage, my first and my second marriage. So.
I also like the excuse that women gave, and one woman gave this to me not too long ago. She was almost 80. And she's been married like 50 years, and the marriage has been bad for about 49 and a half of those 50 years. And she tried to leave him like 5 years ago. And he was upstate New York living, and, you know, they really had two different homes. She was on Long Island, he was upstate. And then he found himself sort of this, like, woman, you know, girlfriend. And she felt very jealous over this. And the jealousy made her call him up and say, well, come back home, because she mistakenly thought because she was jealous she must still love him. Now, when you read the traits that characterize fear, jealousy is one of them. When you don't have to love someone, you feel jealous. So if you're staying with someone because you feel like, oh, God, if they find someone else, I'm going to feel very jealous, that's a self-esteem issue. That's another issue. It really has nothing to do with love. So sometimes, you know, understand what fear is. Understand what love is. There two different things, and, you know, most people are loving very conditionally. It's based upon behavior. If you do what I want and act the way I want to, I love you, and if you don't do that, I'm not going to love you. You know, I think we've all been in those relationships. I know, Shauna, you were in that relationship for a few years when you were engaged. It was kind of, he loved you if you did what he said. Do you remember that?
Right. Yes, I remember that.
And it's not a very good feeling. It doesn't make you feel very secure. Very few people really love you unconditionally and give you that space that you need. And that's what we're trying to talk about, the difference between love and fear. And I love the fact that we've had two men talking to us. It would be nice if we got some female.
Yes, if you feel called to reach out to us, please do so. I'm talking to you out there. The one who wants to pick up the phone but is hesitating, don't hesitate. Pick up that phone. Don't be afraid.
And the number is 646-929-0958. Now, the major fears that I find that are really interfering with love are, we talk about this often, commitment phobia, the fact that people cannot commit heart, soul, mind, and body to the relationship. And what I keep trying to stress to people, and this is one of the more recent karmic lessons that I had to learn for myself, is sometimes when someone's rejecting us, they're not rejecting us personally, they're rejecting the higher love that we have to offer. And a commitment phobic can commit to a lower level of love. They'll have the Marie and Frank Barone marriage. They'll be able to do a sitcom marriage. But if you're asking them to love you heart, soul, mind, and body, they may run in the other direction. So commitment phobia is one of the main fears that interferes with relationships. The fear of intimacy. You know, when you're truly intimate with a person, that can be pretty scary. And people fight a lot as a way of avoiding intimacy. That's really why they have these massive fights. Instead of being intimate, they fight, and then they're angry with each other, and they don't communicate. So the fear of intimacy is a major, major fear. And the fear that someone could die on us is a big fear. If you're going to love somebody with your heart, soul, mind, and body, if that person dies on you, it could be a terrifying experience. But if you know that love is an energy that can't be created or destroyed, that love never leaves you. I talk to dead people all the time. They do try to commune. You're just not hearing them. And the saddest part about talking to dead people is they're filled with regret and remorse, that they had too much fear. They were afraid of everything. They didn't tell people how much they love them. You know, I'm finding that the fear in America is massive. After 9/11, we had these nameless fears of terrorists. Everything's, we're afraid. Now we've got economic terror. It seems to me that Americans are becoming a very fear-based people. We have to start getting some courage. We have to do things in spite of fear. If you're in a relationship that's not good, muster up some courage. It really does take courage to walk out of a relationship. But what will you do if you stay in it forever? I mean, there's women that I have to tell them, yeah, you're going to stay with your husband because you're afraid of abandonment. Well, God will let you stay with him. And one day he's going to have a stroke, and he'll sit on your couch, and you'll wipe his ass for 20 more years. And is that what you want? You know, if you're not happy, you've got to get out. Your body will attack you. Physically, you get ill. You know, when you stay in a relationship that's toxic, you get cancer. You get diseases. You get MS. You get all kinds of autoimmune disorders. Your body will tell you, you're staying where I don't want to be. So, and people will make themselves sick in order to stay. You know, how many times do you see women or men, they just said, I was going to leave, and then, you know, I got cancer, or, you know, I got sick and I couldn't leave, or he got sick. You know, don't think that people, you know, how many times have I seen men know that their wives are about to leave them and suddenly have a heart attack? Okay, maybe it's breaking their heart, but boy, now the woman suddenly can't leave. She feels guilty.
That's the whole mind-body connection.
The mind-body
so powerful
connection. And we have to work on understanding that our mind and our body work hand in hand together. And if you want to have a healthy life and a vibrant life, love with all your heart, be courageous. I mean, you know, we all have fear, right? Everybody in this room has fear. But we do things in spite of our fear. And that's what I think we're lacking, is the courage right now, the courage to really live authentic lives. And most people are living half lives. You know, they want their cake and eat it too. They have their marriage. For the narcissistic reasons, it looks like the perfect home on the outside, manicured lawn, perfect house. But underneath that perfect exterior is rotten to the core. So this is what's keeping people. Sometimes they love their things so much. Well, I can't leave my house. I love my house. Well, if you love
what about my TV?
Right. The things you own will end up owning you.
That's right. And it's funny. You can walk out. You know, I walked out of my marriage with my suitcases and books. I have so much junk. I can't even tell you how much I've acquired. And so you can walk and leave everything behind, and you will replenish it. And it's only things. And again, if you're that tied to your things, well then, stop complaining. If you love your things more than you love, you know, being in love with someone and being with someone, then shut up about it. It's the complaining. It's the constant complaining.
It's greed.
It's greed. Well, Kim was very insightful today. She was saying that people are staying in their marriages for the five sins of conditional love that are in the book, for narcissistic reasons, greedy, jealous, envious, and selfish reasons. If you're staying in a marriage because you're afraid of what people will have to say, that's narcissistic. If you only love your things, that's greedy. If you're staying because you're afraid, oh, my mate's going to find somebody else, well, that's a jealous reason. Or you're staying because you need all these things. You need the best car. You need everything. Well, that's envy. You'll envy other people who have them. So, again, working on our own issues, and it's being selfish to ask your mate to stay. When you know your mate doesn't love you and you manipulate them to stay, that is the ultimate act of being a selfish being. You know, my feelings are if someone doesn't love me and they don't want to be here, they're free to leave. You know, love is freedom. I mean, you're free to stay, you're free to go. But, you know, manipulating people, that seems to be the number one thing that keeps people trapped. And I think we've seen it in our parents' marriages. I think, Kimmy.
Well, just remember also, Cindy, the same, the opposite is also true. You know, if you love your mate, if you love your, you know, your wife, your husband, you know, it's okay if you love them. But if you know for a fact that they don't love you in return and that they don't love you in the same way, by you staying and settling for that lesser of a love, you're not doing anybody any favors. You know, it's not, you know, it's not right to just go out and say, well, you know what, I'm in an unhappy marriage, therefore I'm going to go and cheat. Or I'm in an unhappy marriage, therefore I'm just going to go and riddle myself with hobby after hobby to keep me out of the house as long as possible. If you're not communicating, or if you don't have that love for your wife, or if your wife does not reciprocate that love back to you, both of you are doing each other an incredible injustice by trying to make something fit that is just not meant to fit.
And that's right. And I thought that was a brilliant point, distraction. People distract themselves from the real issues. They're so busy keeping themselves busy that they don't see what they're feeling, or they hide their head in the sand. Hiding your head in the sand is probably one of the worst things you can do. Pretending you're not seeing that your mate's cheating on you because you might have to actually do something about it, as long as, you know, you all pretend it's not happening. You don't have to deal with the issue. You know, you will pay biologically for hiding your head in the sand. Your body will start to say to you, you know, you're just not doing it justice to me here. I don't want to be here. You know, and you will make yourself sick. So we really, really have to deal with our issues. I can't stress that enough. And everything that I talk about is something that I've had to do. I've had to experience all these fears. Fear of surviving. Can I emotionally, financially survive a divorce? Can I deal with my daughter, at what she might feel? I mean, I took all that into account, and I weighed all of it, and I waited till I thought it was the right moment. You know your children better than anyone. If your children are going through a particularly rough teen years, it might not be the right time to leave, and you might have to stay put now. You've stayed too long. You stay put. But when things seem to settle down and you know that right moment, then do it. But, you know, only you will know when that right moment is. And sometimes if you just wait too long, you're just going to feel like, I'm too old now. I've missed my boat, and what's the use? And that's really sad. And I see women who are only 40 years old looking so old and tired because they've been in, you know, 15 years in an unhappy marriage. You're not old at 40. You're young. You're young enough to move forward and have a whole nother life. So that's what we're talking about here, embracing a higher love and not settling for something that's not good and not healthy. Now, I don't know if any of you have anything to add to what we've been talking about, Chana. Do you have any?
I do. You know, when you say that you stayed in the marriage, you know, for me, it just, I don't think that really did me any favors. You know,
sure,
I think I would have been better off if you had left when you wanted to. I don't, you know, I think maybe it would have been better than being in a home where there's that tension, that underlying tension.
I think you're right, but I think the mistake was to wait till you, once you were a teenager, and I just thought I would lose control of you during those teen years.
I don't think it would have done me any harm, though. I just want to tell people that I don't think that they should stay in a marriage for the kids, even if they're going through a rough time.
And Shauna's a
although child, every circumstance is different, you know.
She's a child of divorce, and I don't think you've been traumatized by the divorce. I think we tried to make it the least traumatic it could be. And, again, it was a big decision for you. It wasn't easy. I was raised old-school Italian. You don't divorce. You make your bed and you sleep in it. So it took me way too long to get out of it. And that's why I'm telling people, if your marriage is bad, you're going to get out of it. It might be 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years. Somewhere along the line, you're going to probably walk out that door. And you might as well do it sooner than later if you can't fix it. Always, if you can fix it, fix it. If you can't, then let it go. And I think most of us have dealt with staying in relationships too long.
I have a little prayer that I say on a daily basis, and you all might have heard it. God grant me the serenity
Absolutely.
To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And sometimes we have that wisdom, and we have that strength, but sometimes the courage just isn't there. And I know even for myself, the courage wasn't there, but I definitely knew what I wanted when I wanted it, you know, and that's a tough
And what I'll tell you, you're going to answer to God. You might have stayed in this miserable marriage, and what you're going to see in your life review is how unhappy your children have been. And you're going to see for hundreds of years what will go on, unhappy family after family after family, because that's what you taught. And you'll see a world at war, because your relationships are not just private. They influence all of the world. And if people aren't making peace in their homes, they're teaching their children war. So what you'll see is that life review, and then you'll see one if you had the courage to leave, and you'll see yourself loving another person and your children having functional marriages, and you'll see a whole different world, and it's too late to change that. And so you'll suffer. You'll stay in a level of heaven where you can see the pain you've caused, and you really can't help it at that moment. So, again, try to think about the long-term consequences. Try to think that your marriage is bigger than just two people. It really does affect the entire world and the planet. Yes, Shana?
We talked a lot about fear in this radio show. Let's talk about love for
that. That's
going to
be next week's show. Next week's
show,
we're going to talk about the things we can do to bring more love into our lives.
Yeah, let's have a positive show. Talk about positive things.
Right. Next week we'll be talking about love and the way that we can bring more love into all of our relationships, not just our romantic relationships, but with our friends and family and the loving and things that we can do. Because if you start to know how to act in a loving way, you'll stop acting in a fearful way. It'll just be a different way of behaving. Every time you act out of love and not out of fear, you reinforce another behavior. So we're really trying to undo the damage from World War II, in which people began to believe the evil powers of the world were greater than the good. We're now working to believe the good powers are greater than the evil, and that's by walking the path of love. And so I hope all of you will come up with some ideas what we can do to bring more love into our lives and into our world. Now, I know our girls usually do a shout-out. We have a few shout-outs here today.
Yes, I would like to shout out to my friend who bought me that beautiful BB skirt. Thank you so much, and thank you for the vest, too, and the shoes. They're working on the quitting smoking thing. So
yeah.
My incentive is still there. And thank you. I love you all.
And I would actually like to say thank you to both Phils for calling in. My friend Phil, who gave us a very, very lovely married perspective, as well as our new friend Phil from a couple weeks ago, I guess.
It is
our single friend Phil. Obviously, we are having a est fest here, as Shana put it. But thank you very much for adding the male insight, because I think that sometimes people forget that there are two sides to every story. So, guys, thank you for having the courage to call in and talk to us.
And please, women, call in. We need your side of the story.
I know. Donna?
And I just want to say hi to my lovely friend Lauren, who listens every week. And just don't forget to love with your entire heart, soul, mind, and body.
Boy, do I love that expression. And
that's
she loves
awesome
it, too.
Expression.
Yeah.
And, again, if we could teach our children, before you walk down that aisle and say, I do, you had better say, I do love you with my heart, soul, mind, and body.
And don't just say it, do it.
And mean it. One of the saddest readings I did was a girl who definitely didn't love her fiancé with her body, and she was getting married in the next week and got a tarot card reading, and, of course, she's having an affair already. And I thought, Italian family or no Italian family, you don't walk down that aisle. And she did, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what a mistake was made. And he was a good guy, but she didn't love him with her body. And already she was finding her way out of that relationship. So, again, when you say I do love you with my heart, soul, mind, and body. Now, we're going to wish you Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love. And if you're finding a higher love, could you call in and let us know about it? We want to hear about soulmate love. If you have a soulmate love, please tell us what you're doing to get that relationship to stay and keep it that soulmate love. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
We love you.